It is The Economy Explained, the good and the ugly of inflation. NPR's Planet Money, here to tackle the indicators and what they mean for our wallets. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First, let's take a moment, though, to discuss our winter member drive underway at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Rob Ferret. Hi there, Rob.
Hey, Kate. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and we're here to say that your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So step up, be counted as a supporter with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 20 donors. Thanks so much to everyone who gave. The goal this hour is to get 25 gifts. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you count on.
That's right. Upping it just a bit. Let's meet this goal. It happens one gift at a time. Let's start with yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, in part because we're commercial-free. But that means we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, business sponsors, they're all important. And there's another source that's very important, too.
Yes, that largest piece of the funding pie for WPR programs comes from you. It's your support that makes all the difference. It is the backbone of how things work here. So when you give, you keep quality, informative, independent, thought-provoking conversations on the air. So make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, maybe you're thinking, Rob, Kate, this all sounds great, but I got a busy morning here. I don't have time for lots of bureaucratic rigmarole. Well, here's the good news. It takes just a few minutes to do this. Short process. You answer a couple few basic questions, your name, your address, the amount of your gift, and how you want to pay for it.
The rigmarole. I like that. That's it. You know, that's really it. Make that first donation to WPR now. You'll feel good about it because listener support is such a big piece of what makes WPR happen. It is you. Many first-time donors give $10 a month or $120. The amount, though, totally up to you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think it's the best source for news, much better than print or television. Ideas Network has a lot of great programs about literature, arts, cinema, books, etc. And of course, classical music and jazz music. It's commercial free and has some of the best, most enjoyable music on the radio. This is David Corey from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information in the arts, culture, politics, and the world.
And the world. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. It's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you have come to expect. And that is why your support during this winter member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
We know you value your time. We value your time too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is quick and easy. It takes just a few minutes with your name, contact info, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Yes, indeed. Super quick, super easy to do, like Rob said, in your gift right now. It really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on each day at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking to get 25 gifts this hour, you can make a difference. You can help us hit this very important goal when you give. You really do make Wisconsin Public Radio, the Ideas Network, possible when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
How about support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the 2022 WPR t-shirt? So give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
Sandra in Waupun says, I could not survive without Wisconsin Public Radio. It brings me unbiased news, laughter, intelligent conversation, wonderful music. Plus, each time I listen, I learn something new. And I'm old, Sandra says. How's that for inspiration? Sandra, thank you so much. I feel inspired. Glad to hear you're learning something every time you listen. How about you? Join Sandra with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now to economic indicators demystified. What to make of Wisconsin's record low unemployment rate set against a backdrop of soaring prices? Why are retail sales surging when inflation is as well? What do you want to know about the highest inflation level in 40 years? What about a Fed rate hike? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Stacey Vanek Smith is an NPR correspondent, co-host of Planet Money's The Indicator. Stacey, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. I'm thrilled to be here.
So when the Consumer Price Index climbed 7%, you know, there's hand-wringing. This is highest rise since the early 80s. There's nervousness. And for some families, there are some really hard choices. Can you start by explaining what this level of inflation means for our personal finance, our borrowing, the health of the overall economy?
Yes. Inflation is, it's a huge issue. So inflation is basically just a fancy word for prices going up. And like you said, it's been about 7.5% in the last year, which is many decades high. But for some items, the price jump has been much higher. Things like cars up 40%, gas up 40%, eggs up 13%, steak up 17%. And so what happens is it basically means that our paychecks don't pay for as much. So even though a lot of people, most Americans got a little raise last year, that raise was less than 5%. So essentially we all got a pay cut because our money buys less. Eggs get more expensive, gas gets more expensive. And so it essentially means that we've all kind of gotten a pay cut, which is what can make things so difficult. At the same time, when money loses value, it can make it hard for people to save money, especially if people are living off of fixed incomes and their savings, things like that. It can make people really nervous, and it just causes a lot of anxiety throughout the economy. And especially when it's been rising so steadily for so long, I think we're all watching pretty carefully. I think everybody's pretty nervous.
So what would cause prices to keep rising, to keep increasing versus staying at their current level? What is pushing them up?
Well, it's a few things. I mean, in general, there are a bunch of factors that cause prices to go up. One of the things, all the supply chain problems that we've seen generally means there's a smaller supply of things, right? Economics is all about supply and demand. So when demand is high, which it is, Americans bought more stuff last year than ever before. And so when there's all this demand for things and, you know, things are getting slowed down by the supply chain, that pushes the price up because there are just fewer things and demand is growing. So that's one of the things that's pushing prices up. The other thing is, of course, as you mentioned, the job situation. So it has been a very interesting couple of years for the labor market. Workers have a lot of power right now. And, you know, last month was very, very good. The U.S. added almost 500,000 jobs in just 4 weeks. But still, there are about 11 million open jobs, and a lot of employers are having a really hard time filling jobs. And in order to do that, they're raising wages to try to attract workers. And the result of that is that they need to make up for those increases somewhere. Often they end up raising prices for consumers. Or sometimes, I don't know if anyone out there has noticed this, but things get smaller. It's called shrinkflation. So like the packaged goods you buy, jars of peanut butter and mayonnaise, and, you know, get smaller and smaller. So the price stays the same, but you're definitely still paying more.
Something that you didn't mention there in the mix is raising interest rates. And so going back to the supply chain problems, you know, monetary policy can't unclog a port you know, raising interest rates can't fix the supply chain bottlenecks in LA or whatever busy port, New Orleans. Why would raising interest rates in this case be helpful or something that could help the situation?
That's a great question. This is always what the Federal Reserve, the U.S. Central Bank, it's its main tool for fighting inflation. It's raising interest rates, essentially raising the cost of borrowing money across the economy. So the way this works, it's an interesting little chain reaction that happens. So basically right now, interest rates are very, very low. So a lot of companies, a lot of people start borrowing money. So businesses borrow money to expand and people borrow money to buy new things. And it tends to heat up the economy. So when you want the economy, when you want to give the economy a little kickstart, you can cut interest rates and it encourages people to borrow money. When you raise interest rates, it makes it more expensive to borrow money. So it slows the economy down. People hesitate a little more before taking out loans. So businesses won't expand as quickly. People might not buy that house or buy that car or buy that boat or whatever purchase they're thinking about. It makes people hesitate a little bit. And that has sort of like a big broad ripple effect across the economy.
Like a cooling off effect, if you will.
Yeah, it has a cooling off effect. And so in turn, what that tends to do is it dampens demand for things. And, you know, because so if the supply is limited, the demand starts getting a little limited too. And then prices start to come down a little bit.
NPR's Planet Money is here, co-host of The Indicator, Stacey Vanek-Smith. You can join in. When do you think we will realistically see inflation go back to normal levels? How big of a problem is the worker shortage in your industry? Are you changing jobs in the great reshuffle as employers scramble to boost pay and offer better flexibility? Join in, 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead with Stacey Vanek-Smith here on the Ideas Network. We've got Planet Money on the morning show explaining economic indicators, what to make of the great reshuffle or the great renegotiation, they may call it. Now let's get an update on our winter member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. You count on the Ideas Network for these great discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these conversations possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Good news. Already this hour, we're making good progress toward our goal, looking now for 19 more people to join in by the end of the hour. When you give, you fund the morning show and all the other Wisconsin Public Radio programs that you count on. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network is your public radio station. You come here for great discussions about ideas, whether it's an interesting little nugget or something that's very big, like inflation, or something big that could change history.
Your whole day can be changed by something you hear. That is the power of great radio programs like the ones here on Wisconsin Public Radio, and that is the power of your support.
This winter member drive is your opportunity to be part of the radio service that you and thousands of other people rely on. Make your difference. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now that you've made the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio, you might be looking for the best way to make your gift. The best way, become a sustainer. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or your credit card, and you set it up to be then ongoing.
So easy. A sustaining gift is a really powerful way of donating because it provides reliable funding for the programs that you count on. So you make an easy-to-pay monthly gift, and those donations, they add up to have a really big impact for WPR. Choose an amount, say $10 or $20 a month, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
Now we need 16 more gifts by the end of the hour. We can do it with your help. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support during this winter member drive makes the WPR programs you count on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount to give.
This member drive supports the programs you love in style with the new WPR t-shirt. This super comfy light blue t-shirt will showcase your love of Wisconsin's nature and WPR. It'll be your new favorite way to show off your WPR pride. Ask for yours when you give $12 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. Your support during this winter member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And so your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
If you've already renewed or you make those ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are the backbone of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And if you haven't given just yet, join thousands of other WPR members by donating now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The lovely 2022 WPR t-shirt is out now. It is made in the U.S., printed here in Wisconsin. Give $12 a month or more. You can show your WPR pride when you wear it. Ask for that t-shirt at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And here's the thing. If you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support, up it just a bit, by, say, $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob, take it away.
Cynthia in Wausau says, WPR has great content and interesting topics. I always learn something new. Glad you're learning, Cynthia. Glad it's worth something to you. How about you? Make your gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and thanks.
Now we go to Planet Money, helping us make sense of what workers want in these times as confidence in job moves are high, especially in construction, tech industries. But in inflation, as we've been talking about, looms large, highest in 40 years, totally wiping out pay raises. What do you want to understand about these financial and economic times with help from Planet Money? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Co-host of The Indicator, Stacey Vanek-Smith, is here. Stacey, we heard from Tim and Madison. Colin couldn't stay with us. Tim is a business owner and said, you know, hiring people has been a problem even before the pandemic era. Tim said young people are moving out of Wisconsin. Wisconsin has an aging demographic and wants to know, will there be a relief for business owners in the near future?
That's a great question. And we're definitely hearing that from companies all across the U.S. 11 million people quit their jobs in December. So, we're seeing people quitting every month, and it's kind of a puzzle. I mean, it's something economists are talking a lot about, and it's having huge effects on the economy, the whole economy, and then individual businesses, of course. I do think there is something interesting here, which is a lot of the working from home during the pandemic. I think that isn't going to go away entirely. I think there's going to be a lot more flexibility. And one effect that could have, I think, is a lot of the US's economy has been concentrated in what are these so-called super cities like New York and San Francisco, where all these jobs are concentrated. And so if people want to work in certain industries like tech, or it, you know, going to a place like San Francisco, Silicon Valley, or if you want to work in finance, going to New York, that was always kind of the way to have the most opportunity, the most jobs to be offered. I think that's actually changing. I think people are, because working from home and remote work has had such a boost from the pandemic, I think people are starting to move to other places where they can have more space, where the quality of life might be better, where they might be near family. So I do actually think there could be some positive news for the US going forward, that people really want remote work. Flexibility is one of the things that workers are really asking for right now. And I think part of the reason for that is that they don't want to necessarily live in a huge city. They want to go somewhere where it's easier to raise a family. They can, you know, have a yard or a second bedroom, or just, you know, have a little bit of a different quality of life.
Well, you know, at any given point, people will be between jobs. That is natural. You know, I think they call it frictional unemployment. And that's actually, if I understand this right, healthy for an economy, because people feel free enough to quit a job so they can look for a better one. Are we in those circumstances now?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So one of the interesting things about the number of people quitting is that economists look at it as kind of a measure of confidence in the economy, because the unemployment rate shows how fast people who don't have jobs can get jobs. But the number of people quitting every month, and it's 11 million people in December, which is a lot, that shows how confident people who already have a job are feeling. So if you quit your job, you know, generally you feel pretty sure that you can get another job quickly. And most of the people, I should say, who are quitting their jobs do have something else lined up or take something else right after that. But, you know, you don't quit your job if you're feeling nervous about the economy. So that is a great sign of confidence.
Andrew from Whitewater called in and is said, you know, the national debt is very high. How does our national debt affect the purchasing power for the U.S.? And what impact does that have on prices and inflation?
That's interesting. So the national debt, absolutely right, has just sort of skyrocketed with all of the stimulus and the aid that the government gave out, and also just all of the ordering of stuff that we've been doing. I would say everybody took on a lot of debt recently. So I don't think the US is a standout in that way. So many countries, everybody was struggling with COVID and taking on lots of debt to try to help people and help businesses kind of get through this crisis. I think for right now, things are okay. The issue becomes, I mean, the U.S. has always, or not always, but for many decades, the government sells bonds. That's one of the main ways the government raises money, treasury bills, government treasuries, T-bills. And that is essentially the government selling its debt. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, it's been such a desirable, such a safe investment. Right now, we're starting to see it become less desirable. The government is paying higher rates for people to borrow it. So that is something we're watching for sure.
Stacy, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Kate. Thank you so much for having me.
Stacy Vanek-Smith, NPR correspondent and co-host of Planet Money's The Indicator. Stay with us. Ahead this hour, we talk with Governor Evers about his State of the State address. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. Governor Tony Evers stopping by the morning show to talk about his budget and spending priorities on the heels of his State of the State address this week. Now let's turn to our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive that is in progress. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. WPR relies on listeners like you and your support. It is the largest piece of the funding for WPR programs you enjoy and rely on. And if you haven't given yet, now is the time at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are halfway through the hour. Now we're looking for 9 more people to join in to help us hit our goal. Your gift right now is so important, because when you give, you support the programs you count on each and every day.
And thank you so much if you've already given. We truly mean that. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In that last conversation, we broke down some complicated economic stuff that has a real impact on our day-to-day lives. It's an example of the kind of conversation, looking at the big stuff, how it affects us. You can count on that every day from the morning show.
WPR is listener powered. It means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 It makes the many topics that we take on each day with you, it makes that all possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
As the donor, you get to decide how much you want to give. Maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
And that might be what you spend every month on takeout, on entertainment, for instance. Things you enjoy that make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a critical resource for the state, and the only way that it's going to be maintained in the long term is to have people who support it. I think it's great to be able to hear what is happening in various parts of the world. I think it's critical to have that resource available, whether we use it every day or not. I like being part of the system that is supporting WPR. Being a supporter of WPR is important for everyone so that they can make use of the resource that is available in our state. I'm Doug Nelson from Pewaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is, say, $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
We ask you to give the amount that's right for you. If you need a formula, think about it this way. Say you hear three things a day that you're glad you heard. Well, if you paid a dime for each of those things, that would work out to about $10 a month. If that math adds up for you, make your gift of $10 a month right now. Do it online at WPR.org or make a quick phone call, 888-202-2552.
Here's what our leaderboard is telling us when we hit the old refresh button. We are looking for 9 more people to join in this hour. 9 more. Come on, we can do this.
We can do it.
Yeah, you make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Support the programs you count on, programs like The Morning Show, and show off your Wisconsin Public Radio pride when you ask for the new 2022 WPR t-shirt. Give $12 a month or more. Ask for your shirt at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Heard from Miles in Appleton, who says, I'm a fourth grade teacher in Appleton and set my alarm at 6:45 a.m. each morning for the 7 a.m. WPR and NPR news that are a firm part of my routine. Thank you so much, Miles. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org. And thank you for your support. Now to Governor Tony Evers, who delivered his fourth State of the State address Tuesday to a joint session of the legislature in the Assembly Chambers. What question do you have for the governor about what he outlined in his speech? What do you want to convey about your circumstances at this point in the pandemic? So where is federal pandemic aid not getting to? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Governor Evers, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Why the urgency for you to unload this budget surplus in the form of tax breaks and refunds when our unemployment is at a historic low, when many Wisconsinites are in a better financial position now than before the pandemic?
Yeah, and that's a great question. But the bottom line is $3.8 billion is money that the people of Wisconsin have put into state government that at this point in time is sitting there. And we feel, first of all, an obligation to, you know, it's the people's money, like to give it back to them. And also, we also believe that it's a good time to help mitigate against inflationary costs that we're seeing all across the state, whether that's at gas stations or in grocery stores, and give people the some resources to mitigate against those increases. So those are the two main reasons. And we're also with two of the tax credits, one's around child care and the other's around caregiving. We feel those folks that are in need of those funds can use them, and there's possibility that we might be able to get people back into the workforce that now are unable to afford childcare or are our caregivers.
Something else that's sitting there is the Rainy Day Fund. It's sitting at $1.7 billion. What is your philosophy for when the state should use its emergency reserves?
Well, that's another great question because, yes, that's something that I think is really important to do, but it is to be used in the most dire of circumstances for state government. So there's some processes that we must go through around that $1.7 billion, but the $3.8 that is projected to be there, we do need to begin to lower that. And this is the right time. We have inflationary pressures, and we also have some needs around child care and caregiving.
There are nearly 137,000 unfilled positions posted on the Job Center of Wisconsin website. As of this morning, I checked, and Republicans say you haven't adequately addressed the workforce crisis, what businesses are going through. And there's a bunch of bills, as you know, moving through the Capitol that would try to force people back into the labor force. What will you do to help employers staff back up?
Well, we've already set aside it's $60 million for 12 regionally based programs to meet the needs, unique needs of folks folks across the state. It's probably not real smart to just assume there's one answer here. And for example, Door County United Way received resources to make sure that they have a strong child care system there and also affordable housing. And they believe that will bring workers to Door County to essentially work in their tourism industry. So you know, and so it differs by area of the state. And so those 12 regionally based programs are doing their work right now to, you know, make sure that we're doing everything we can to get people into the workforce. But at the end of the day, with the low unemployment rate we have, we have to pull out every possible area that we can do it. You know, another small example is making, you know, we have the UW system now has a footprint in our correctional institutions and helping prepare people that will be leaving the correctional institutions to get back into the society and be productive members of society. So there's a myriad of things we have to do. So to say that nothing is done, frankly, isn't true. But that's the way politics work these days. We're hard at work at this, and we believe there's going to be some really good success going forward.
You mentioned affordable housing in Door County, and we've talked with more than a dozen mayors across the state in recent weeks, and almost uniformly, we hear about a lack of affordable housing in their communities, aging housing stock, not enough new multi-unit developments going up in smaller cities. What are your next steps to address these housing issues across Wisconsin?
Well, I saw yesterday that the League of Municipalities released a report that they put together with some other groups that work with them. And so there's lots of good ideas out there. Our Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority is working with others all across the state to provide as much affordable housing as possible. It's a difficult nut to crack, but we feel that we're making headway. We need more of it. And what it does for me, Kate, is it reminds me that all these issues are interconnected, whether, you know, we need to connect the dots, whether it's affordable housing, whether it's transportation, whether it's transit or education, all those pieces need to fit into place. And we need to make as good an effort we can to make sure that we do connect those dots.
Talking with Governor Tony Evers about his priorities for state government, what is on his mind in the midst of this budget surplus, and hearing from you at 800-642-1234 to join in. Republicans are also criticizing your lack of attention on crime. And we heard interim Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson appealing to you this week to send some of those surplus dollars to his city to address public safety, to address the record number of homicides. Will you do that? And what is your administration doing to curb the violence?
Well, we've already invested $45 million directly into violence prevention programs. And that includes $8 million that went to the city of Milwaukee and at least $25 million of that 45 into outstate violence prevention programs. Yes, we do. I agree with Cavalier that the state does have a role. We have to focus some of that effort on shared revenue. That shared revenue is the money that the state provides to municipalities, and we've had great trouble with the Republicans getting shared revenue increased in the state. That's the money that those municipalities use to do their work, including fire and police protection. And for years, it's been cut back. We've put money in the budget, and it's been yanked out by the Republicans. So, yes, we need more shared revenue. Yes, we need money, which we have provided around violence prevention programs around the state.
The next few weeks, busy period in the Capitol as lawmakers wrap up before election season. So heading into this period, how would you characterize your relationship with Republican leaders of the legislature?
Well, it's about the same as it always has been. Certainly they have the majority, and they want to wield their authority as majority leaders. So what we do is we try to reach common ground when we can. And, you know, the idea that there are no bills passed that don't have Democratic support or my signature is just wrong. I sign bills that far exceed the number of bills that I veto. And we'll continue to work the best we can to reach common ground. This is a good example of my surplus plan. I think it can get bipartisan support. I'm hopeful it will. Money that is people's money sent back to them has been popular with Republicans in the past. I assume that they're still interested in that.
Well, I want to pause right there with your surplus plan, because Democrats widely criticized your predecessor, Governor Scott Walker, and Republicans for passing tax relief in past election years as a gimmick to win voters. Should voters be skeptical of your motives right now in this $150 credit for taxpayers?
That's comparing apples to giraffes, frankly. Back when Scott Walker did that, it was just a small amount as compared to this, and he wasn't dealing with a pandemic. We just went through 2.5 years of a pandemic that still exists, and the people of Wisconsin have bounced back economically. And as a result of that, and we're also in an inflationary time, which was not the case back then. And so it's comparing two different things. People can be critical if they want to, but this is a response to you know, first of all, good economics, good strategic use of federal money to make sure that our people are safe and the economy recovers. And as a result of that, we have the best economy we've had in my time. And we want to return some of that money because of the inflationary pressures. None of that was part of the decisions made by a prior administration.
Let's bring on a caller, Owen in Wauwega. Owen, hi, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Governor. As a small young dairy farmer here in the state of Wisconsin, I just had to disperse my herd because I have no land available to me because the larger dairy farms around me have monopolized the land bases. And they continue to be stimulated by large amounts of government subsidies that come into their possession. And they utilize many different methods of obtaining that. But they also have hired a lot of labor who are foreign citizens and have no ability to be enfranchised in our democracy here. So we have a labor system that is not even capable of voting to protect or be part of a democracy in our agricultural economy here in the state. What are you going to do to protect young dairymen like me that continue to be pushed out by large corporate style agriculture that uses undocumented labor to become extremely wealthy?
Governor Evers.
Well, first of all, the labor issue, I think, is an important one that Owen brings up. And that is, something that, frankly, I think is unfair, period. Not talking about small farms versus large farms, but undocumented folks end up being arrested on a regular basis in this state because they don't have driver permits. And they're doing really significant work on farms, large and small, across the state of Wisconsin. During the pandemic, we've put aside distributed $100 million to farmers all across the state, and that helped 20,000 farmers, and I hope you were one of them, Owen. And that's just one kick at the cat. We've had several other situations where that happens. I support small farmers, and we'll do whatever we can going forward to make sure that they can continue to exist.
Governor Evers, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too, Governor Tony Evers. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You are with us for The Morning Show, and it is the winter membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret, and our goal is to keep bringing you topics that make you think, make you respond. Wisconsinites you really want to talk with, like Governor Evers. Your support makes all this happen, makes all this radio happen, because listener support is actually the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
5 minutes left this hour. We're knocking on the door of our goal. Just need four more people to join in. Thank you so much if you've already given.
Knock, knock, knock. And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
That last conversation we heard from Governor Evers about some of his priorities from the State of the State address. Regular listeners to The Morning Show know you get to hear and interact with elected officials from both parties from all over the state, Republicans and Democrats in the legislature, mayors from all around Wisconsin. These are the kind of conversations you can count on here on The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported, and it means that your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that you join us for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Enjoy the 2022 USA-made WPR t-shirt. This light blue shirt shows a simple image of sun beams over a Wisconsin landscape, and of course the name of your favorite public radio station. Show your sense of adventure in Wisconsin along with Wisconsin Public Radio. Ask for your t-shirt with your gift of $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I do feel that it's important to give what you can to public radio.
It's really important to support this kind of programming. It's not available elsewhere.
This is a station that sometimes challenges my assumptions.
I have found new friends that keep me really informed.
It's a station that doesn't always agree with me, which is what people seem to like to listen.
And I just feel like it's stealing to listen and not contribute.
I choose to become a member. You should choose to become a member too.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. Listener support, it is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on, and it's why your support during this winter member drive is so critical. Maybe you set your gift at $10 a month. Maybe you get the mug and it's $12 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
When now three more people join in during the next few minutes, we'll meet our goal. These hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. Make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think back about when you first discovered Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe it was a friend who recommended it. Maybe you knew about the high-quality news or interesting discussions, the weekend programs that make you laugh. Or maybe you just you know, bumped into us on the dial. However you first found WPR, now you're hooked.
Whether that's been years or just a few months since you found us, your contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120 supports the quality programming you valued since the first time you listened. Be a part of making WPR possible. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Ooh, we are on the cusp of this goal. We need three more people in the door. WPR is listener powered. In the next few moments, your gift matters so much at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's so important.
Your chance to grab the new WPR t-shirt, USA made, printed here in Wisconsin. Cool design. Give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Ask for your t-shirt.
Marion Madison says, I listen each morning. Jerome in La Crosse says, I listen to WPR anytime I'm alone in the car. The wide range of topics I hear about broaden my mind, make me ask questions I've never thought to ask before. Your gift, so important, so powerful at WPR.org. And thank you. Thank you so much for your support.